excuse me for that, but that's one of my campaigns. Vishnu Janaswami, people always ask about him. When he was, they had the best Sunday feast probably ever in those days in Los Angeles. He always put tilak on everybody. Everybody, somebody at the door was putting it on everybody who came in. Everybody was happy. It's very easy. That way they were doing it at the manor was really easy. They just had some, you know, didn't have this part. So everyone is getting ready for Janmashtami. Some devotees are very, very busy, like at the manor. They'll be working 24 hours, I guess, as time goes on, because they have so many things happening. Here, it might not be quite so big, but you never know. When I first, one of the first times I was really engaged in the temple of Janmashtami, running all over, cooking, and getting boga and donations, and really came to life. Krishna's appearance is causes mercy. He doesn't appear in that Krishna form, in the Vraja form, in the universe only once in the day of Brahma, right? Not so often. But it's his special mercy to show these pastimes of his, in Vrindavan pastimes, that are so charming, to attract the people in the material world to want to go back to Krishna. We were discussing on the radio, and we're discussing why, you know, a lot of people, they claim to be atheists, or they're not interested in religion. I know Ravindra Sarup Prabhu, he preaches to many intellectual people in the university. So many say they don't believe in God. Then he asks him, what do you think God is? Then after they explain, he says, I don't believe in that either. Because the idea that's been presented to them about what is God is not attractive. Just, for instance, in America, there's some group of Christians, and they're very fired up, evangelists. And they have one pamphlet that I've seen ever since I can remember, every time I go on certain streets. So it shows somebody, and he's given the choice, you know, between Jesus and the devil, whether to be sinful or go to church. So he is sinful. Then he's judged by God. So they show God sitting on a huge throne. Looks like it's made out of cement on top of a hill. Very huge body. And there's big hands. And it has like a shutter, but there's no face. And then a big voice comes out and says, go to hell. So that's supposed to scare you that you should be good. But for many people, that doesn't attract them at all, to think that God is only punishing and throwing you to hell forever, or that there's really no God. You know, they have such a mix-up. Or Hinduism, many people, they just bewildered. They say they don't know. There's so many gods. They don't know who's who. They don't know who to worship. They get bewildered. So in many places in countries, Hindus are losing, they say, their youth, become Christians, like in Indonesia, or Muslims. They say, one God, okay, only one way. There's no confusions. May not offer very much, but if Bhagavad Gita is monotheistic. There's one God. There's a Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, from whom everything else is emanating, whom even the demigods and all of them can understand. But there's so much mix-up. We went to one ashram in Fiji, and the Swami there, he was nice, actually. He bought the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he bought all the Bhagavatam. He was my buddy. And, so I said, do you read the purports? He said, oh, no. I was laughing because the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is a Vaishnava commentary. The slokas also are. But he had on his wall pictures of so many demigods. There's a few more. And he would confirm that you should worship all these different gods by saying Nam Namakari, Bahuda, Nijasarva Shakti. There's so many gods. They have so many names. They're all the gods. Demigods. people, then they don't know where to turn, and they don't know what they want. They're presented that religion is just, you know, like a social group or a nationalism. Some religions now are practically just, you know, you're born in this country, so you belong to this religion. I was just in Greece. You know, you're supposed to be Greek Orthodox. And if you even read, even if someone is trying to be a member of that church, and they're found out that they're studying the mythology or the other religions, and they kick them out from the church. You have to be that. That's what a Greek is. That's what an Israeli is, to be Jewish. You're born Jewish. Other people are not so attracted to that. They didn't put tilak on. You didn't give for the boys over here. This side didn't get tilak. Only the girls have come.
Mataji said to do it.
Huh?
Mataji said, it's okay.
I said to do it. Some other man can do it. It's very important, actually. There's so many slokas. We have even doctors here in the UK that wear tilak all the time in their practice. And the people just like it. People ask him what it is. But when we come in the temple room and we're in front of Krishna, he likes to see that. He doesn't like to see without it. Lord Chaitanya kicked the students out. So whoever is in charge of the temple, they should take responsibility to benedict people and help them when they come to the temple. It's quite easy to put on. And it's very refreshing. And when you look at other people, you might think, oh, there's a servant of Krishna. Instead of there's a pretty girl, or there's a nice looking boy, or there's an old man, you think there's a servant of Krishna. That's the effect that it has. When people see tilak, there's many descriptions in the scripture. And they, if it's Gopi Chandan, actual from Dwarka Gopi Chandan, that is, there's a Gopi Chandan Samhita, and it's a very, very auspicious substance. The most, you know, as much as anything else in the world. So there's one story that comes with that. There was a very sinful king. He was completely sinful. He never did anything pious in his whole life. He killed pregnant women, he killed many cows, he was always hunting. He was really bad. So finally one of his ministers, you know, killed him out when they were out hunting in the forest. Of course the minister was also bad, but he just wanted to get the king's position. So he killed him out and left him out in the forest. And he was brought to Yamaraj. So Yamaraj asked, you know, what about his life? And they told him he's never done anything pious in his entire life. Not one thing. Only sinful activities. Only, you know, killing, like I said, pregnant women, cows. So many hellish sinful activities. So Yamaraj said that he should, so many different things he had to suffer. I think it was, you know, like 84 lakhs or something, different tortures. So the first thing they did was put him in the hot oil, you know, to fry him. Now, if they put you in the hot oil, like, you know, like we cook pakoras in or something, you would die very quickly. But in hellish fun, you don't die, you just cook. You don't pass out, you don't get killed. You just feel the pain, which normally would just be for. But nothing happened. The oil turned cool. Like the same thing when Hiranyakashipu tried to cook Prahlad. Nothing would happen. So they brought him back to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj was very bewildered. How could this happen? Because he was so sinful. Then Narada Muni happened to come by, and he said that when this king fell off his horse to die, somebody had dropped some Gopi Chandan there on the ground, and he fell on top of it. So that purified him of all the sinful activities. Mm-hmm. And then when Yamaraj heard that, he understood, and then a Vaikunth airplane came and took him to Vaikunth. Mm-hmm. Now what to speak if you put it on your face and you say the mantras and you look like a Vaishnava, devotee of Krishna, how much benefit you get? It's preaching, actually, if people see you with tilak. Even they don't know what it is, they think of Krishna. If they do know what it is, then it's even better. So Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they also observed Janmashtami celebration. They would dress up like cowherd boys and play, right? Cowherd boy pastimes. But the cowherd, if you've seen the cowherd boys in India, they have big sticks and very long ones. And so something they sport, you know, so they would joke with Nityananda and say, let's see what kind of cowherd boy you are. How can you twirl that stick? And then he would twirl the stick like really fast and really beautifully and all kinds of things like somebody does in a parade. And they would do all kinds of activities like that to celebrate the appearance, just like we do. Our movement is a continuation of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. So we're doing the same things. We're doing kirtan, we're doing Rath Yatra festival, many, many of them. They just had one yesterday in Cardiff. In Germany they just had three, in Berlin and Munich and Cologne, one almost one after another. And at the Polish Woodstock Festival with Indraduna Swami, they had 3 days in a row. Going amongst all the party goers that came to the festival there. They didn't, they came, they got special benediction. The cart was in the middle of the whole ground of all these, you know, hundreds of thousands of camping rock and roll freaks. But you, from anywhere in the whole compound, you could see the cart sticking out. So everybody was chugging up conscious. This is Lord Chaitanya, you know, he relished, especially Rath Yatra, he relished all these festivals. Janmashtami is, somebody asked, they said that some people were thinking that they should celebrate at the same time as it is in India, when they're in Africa, so that's like, I guess, the Hindus do here. So I asked one of our astrologers, he said, well, the scripture says you're supposed to celebrate according to a certain astrological conditions. And I was thinking about that. It's like New York, then they would just fast until noon. Right, or California or something, fast until 10 in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going by what time it is in India, that might be a little strange. You know? Some people might like that. Yeah. Wouldn't be the same mood. You know, the mood is you do just like, because wherever you're worshiping Krishna, that's Vrindavan. It's not any particular place in the material world. So we follow, you know, like that. But we want to remember that Krishna's mercy, that he appeared in this material world in his original transcendental form, the Bhagavad Gita. He says that millennia after millennium I appear in this form, this special mercy. Not just an ordinary incarnation of Vishnu where he kills some demons, or sometimes it just comes for, you know, a few minutes, like Varna Shringadeva, how long did he come? Or Vamadeva, I don't know how long. After the Bali, we never heard of him. He probably disappeared. But Krishna came and exhibited all these amazing pastimes that are recorded in so many ways, and, you know, by painting, by drama, by song, by scripture, by poetry, by so many ways, all of these wonderful appearance and childhood pastimes are preserved. So devotees celebrate them. I was hearing Prajuna Prabhu talk about the manor. I think maybe I should stay for that, you know, just to see what they do, you know, because mostly we can't do such a big, big thing. But they have a tunnel or something, and you go through, and all Krishna's pastimes are there. Something much, that's the kind of things Prabhupada wanted us to do, to make theme parks of Krishna. Like in the Karmis make theme parks of Mickey Mouse, and theme parks of, there's one in Singapore of hell. The Chinese hell, which is very similar to the Bhagavatam hell. But you go in a little boat, and then everywhere you look, there's someone getting their intestines pulled out, and someone getting cooked, and someone getting hung upside down. You don't have time even to see all of them. But much better, I mean, that I guess that could have some, you know, we do, the Bhagavatam does tell us about hell also, and how you happen to get there. Hopefully that you will learn to avoid these activities. But a much nicer way is to meditate on the pastimes of Krishna and just get purified and absorbed. Then automatically, if we're absorbed in hearing and chanting and broadcasting the pastimes of Krishna, we're not going to do the things that will take us to hell. We're getting liberated. Janma karma chame divyam evam yobeti tatvataha tattva turna punar janma navidyate. For one who understands the transcendental nature of my activities and appearance, and it doesn't take birth again. It comes to me. It's a simple thing. Prabhupada says in that purport, if someone just pays obeisances, just understands, okay, Krishna is the Supreme Lord.